It's Anime Pacific episode 60?
No, it's something like, what is it, 64?
It was
60.
Last one was episode something something.
68. It's episode 68.
Very exciting, eh?
Yes, and we're both together, unified after a summer of being apart. Now this is going to be a short episode and of sort of dubious quality because of time restraints here.
There's a storm going on here in Hong Kong.
Yeah, you just missed a giant thunderclap and then Connie screaming in the background. Yeah. That was very exciting. So, yeah, but this will be, again, a sort of a shorter show because I have to leave for work in about 40 minutes here. So that's unless we... I don't know, try to squeeze in another session tomorrow evening. I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah. Well, actually, I was just saying this to Alex, that I have made the template for the new kind of project we're working on, which, for those of you that listen to Anime Pacific, it's not going to be something that's going to make you cry and say we've sold out or changed or lost our way, but it's just something that gives us an excuse to speak about the sort of stuff we speak about anyway. It's just not only the anime label. So
right.
Yes.
Yeah. But in the meantime, over the summer, boy, I sort of caught up in a lot of my anime. I mean, I rewatched Darker Than Black, and watched the whole thing, because I think only the first, like, 12 or so were available when I watched the first time. But now all 25, plus an OVA was released, so I watched all 26. I also watched Spice and Wolf. I watched, I watched Skull Man again. I watched Freedom, all of Freedom.
Yep, so did I.
And my wife and I are watching Monster, an epic length. God, it's like 75 episodes, and we're up to like episode 60 now. So we're watching that. So yeah, a lot of stuff happening on the anime front.
Yes.
Not sure whether I should throw that out there now or wait until we have more of a longer episode to go into sort of some depth on these shows.
Yeah, it's certainly in that's several dozen hours of anime there that you've been watching. But, you know, I was just listening to Upper Paddle, you know, our good friend Kent from Upper Paddle. He just recently released a new episode, and he said that there was something of a anime podcast dry spell, which, you know, now that I think about it, you know, Lathers Blather just released a new episode, which is good, although it's not, you know, that's not always specifically anime at all, but, you know, Anime Genesis hasn't updated in quite a long time. Our good friend Mr. Eeper, I got an interesting story to tell you about that. Oh crap, my accent isn't that good anymore, I'm out of practice, but, you know, I suppose you wouldn't mind me saying this, but I did record another episode of the iHeart the 80s podcast with Eeper and Jeff Terek, you know, of the aforementioned Lathers Blathers fame, and it was about, maybe I won't spoil what movie we talked about, but the story behind getting that made is just amazing, because the first time, we recorded some of it, and then we sort of, he said, oh, look, guys, I'm going to have to go very quickly because, I can't remember, it's 11 a.m. and I haven't had any alcohol yet, or something like that, and then we sort of...
Sounds believable.
We very quickly kind of finished it off, and then then Jeff said, we finished. And he said, well, actually, guys, I think I made a bit of a mistake. I accidentally didn't record the last 40 minutes of the recording. So,
oh, what a douchebag.
No, we He was using some software called FreeCorder, which, you know, worked very well, but it screwed up somehow. It wasn't exactly his fault. So, he said, okay, well, let's reschedule it to this time, eh? So then I rescheduled it, and that was the day of the huge flood, I believe, and that flood. You know, I posted it in the show notes when we were doing.
This is a long time ago. Okay.
Yeah, this thing took ages to make, and I came on about an hour later, because, you know, the flood and all the crap surrounding that. And I said, okay, look, I'm so sorry, I'm ready to record. And he says, hey, I know you are, but Jeff isn't here, would you believe it or not? And then Jeff wasn't there because where he lives there was a power outage or something like that. So he wasn't able to make it, and then he left a few SMS messages in our email accounts and whatnot, so that was kind of out of the way. And then finally we rescheduled it to another time. And already this is like a duration of 2 months or so. And I'm on the bus, and it was the day I was supposed to be recording, and there was a bit of traffic. It was also bad weather. And I got a call on my mobile phone. And I'm like, hello?
Hey, Nate, hold it! You know English, huh?
And he was actually saying, this is Philip.
Sounds like the chef. The sweetest chef.
The Irish version of the Swedish chef.
That's right.
No,
Borky.
Yeah, I was like, hey, Bork, how did you get my number?
And that's right.
But then he said, no, you know, it's Eber. And I said, what?
Eber!
I said, and I thought it was some English outfit trying to get ask if I wanted to have an interview, and I'm like, what did I say, English first or something? I said, what? English land?
Eber!
English land, right?
No! Eber from Ireland, you feckin' idiot! So, where the dickens are you?
And I said, yeah, well, I'm on the bus, and there's huge traffic, and I'm on the way, and I'll be there soon. And luckily, I was able to get there. I was like an hour late. I felt absolutely terrible, and Jeff was there waiting also. But they were both very understanding. So, and we finally finished recording it, and that was several months ago. But I
Man,
know
you got to give me your. I think I had your mobile number, and then I lost. You got to give it to me so I can call you and bother you to tell you to get the hell online.
Yes. Yeah, well,
it's the only way I can solve our.
I still remember back when you were living in Japan, and you'd call me, you know, to say, "Oh, where are you, man? Let's play Unreal Tournament, eh?" And you know, maybe I wasn't home, or if I was at home and I was eating or doing something, and then I remember you said, "Okay, now, eh, if I just dial a number and you see long distance, you know it's me, you don't need to answer it, eh? If you answer it, then I gotta pay, eh?" And then the phone rang, and then Connie ran straight to the phone and went, "Hello!"
Oh, Connie, man!
Yeah, so there's some memories. But anyway, suffice to say, the episode recorded of the I Heart the 80s podcast was recorded several months ago, but I know it'll be an absolute bastard to edit, and Eper is a very good editor. I think we all have our strengths and whatnot, but Eper's strength is definitely editing, because
well, you know, in the comments section, Eper was sort of complaining about the lack of a show we produced, and I sort of told him,
I'm just looking at it.
We only have one chance per week, and you know, I'm diligently there Friday evenings my time, but you know, recently the last few weeks Dane is, you know, off, like, you know, massaging his ass or fishing through garbage or whatever the hell he decides to do. Think is more important than, you know, talking to me, his bud. So Yeah, so he sort of says, Dane, Eeper says, tie up Dane. Actually, he might like that. Stick a mic in front of him and threaten to take away his porn collection if he doesn't. That's
Oh,
classic.
goodness. Yeah, well, you know, I think the closest thing to porn I've ever seen is like Shearer.
Yeah, right.
No
Okay.
idea. But I also noticed that Regan, jolly good chum Regan, who I think has taken partially, at least, he's taken the reins of focusing on a lot of older stuff like we did to a certain extent, and he's got quite a lot of listeners now. So I wish him all the
Yeah.
best. But he just mentioned that he's seen the first Space Adventure Cobra, or Space Cobra, OVA. Because, you know, the new OVA's just out. I didn't know. I knew it was out, but I didn't know if it was out with subtitles or not. But he says he's seen it, and he likes it, so I am definitely going to check that out because I adored Space Adventure Cobra. And that was the last thing we reviewed together, wasn't it?
Yeah, actually.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to seeing that too. Actually, you'll have to send me to inform me where I can obtain
Yeah,
it.
I see. I'm looking at AnnieDB now, and
Oh, I was trying to be s serendipitous there,
well, you
but
know,
not serendipitous.
it's.
Obscure.
I would really love for this to be
Lower
licensed, but I don't think it's going to be.
the risk. And then you could buy it on eBay if it was licensed. That's right. So.
No, I could just order it through Best Buy or something like that. But
Yeah,
it's I see there's a raw route. I perhaps Regan has just seen the raw. If you haven't and you know, let us know, Regan, because I'm very desperate to see this. Of course, being a good show, the chances of it being subtitled are instantly reduced to about, oh, 5%. And the
you
whole.
know.
Yep.
Nothing, go ahead.
I was just saying the whole new season of shows is out now, which.
Yeah, we I think if we get back into the new season coming up, I think it would be easy to sort of get back into the swing of putting out shows, but the issue is just again sort of the lack of when we can sort of both be on at the same time. And again, it's only Saturday mornings his time, Friday evenings my time is really the only chance that we have. So we can't necessarily guarantee a show every week. And we are sort of transitioning over to this new format that Dane's been talking about. So I don't know, stay tuned. And so we sort of wrapped this up too. So I don't know how many people have turned off their podcatchers and sort of given up on trying to find new shows, eh? I mean, like a few weeks ago, I did just my usual Google search, typing in anime podcast, and we were like second or third from the top, eh? I was like, wow, it's too bad that we sort of told everyone we were over, and now we've dropped back to the second page. So I don't know, but I don't know. Maybe if we start putting out shows again, we'll get more popular. I don't know, but yeah, I wanna before we finish this show, I wanna again. I told, or I did. I have reviewed Darker Than Black already, but it is now that I just rewatched it, I fell in love with it all over again. This has got to be the best series I've seen in a long time. I think, you know, sort of thinking back, I think I maybe explained it wrong. I was trying to say it was like a sort of a Ghost in the Shell kind of thing, but with magic or mysticism aspects, rather than, you know, sort of science and robots. But I think that's a bad explanation. I think it's better to explain more like a Japanese version, and same thing with Skullman too, sort of the Japanese take on superheroes. Because I was sort of thinking about this like all this summer, it's been like wall to wall superhero movies. You had Iron Man, you had the new Batman, you had Hulk, which I did not see.
Me
You had
too.
Hellboy.
Oh, I loved Hellboy.
You know, just and I think thinking about that, you know, Darker Than Black I think is a Japan. It's almost like a Japanese take on superheroes. And if you thought,
well, as opposed to like Iron Man and Power Rangers, which is the alternative superhero take.
What do you mean? Iron Man is also is sort of traditional.
Ultraman,
just one guy.
Ultraman.
Oh, Ultraman.
Yeah, you know that's Sentai kind of stuff.
Oh, but I think this is like puts a twist on it, like almost as if. Because people sort of gain these almost essentially superpowers, okay? Mm-hmm. Though they sort of explain it between these gates appear at various places around the planet, and they're massive gates, and inside the gate, like all life kind of disappears, and the buildings still remain, but I guess all people have vanished, and people sort of fled these sort of gate areas, and they become walled off, and they're sort of reserved for like science experiments and stuff. As to what the hell these things are, the dimensions to another planet, what the hell are they? Anyway, there's gates on all these different continents, and some of them connect, and there's a lot of sort of science behind these gates. But because of these, you know, gates, various people have obtained essentially superpowers. They call them, they use it sort of in mystical terms, but you know, essentially they're superpowers. And what do people do with these superpowers? In the American comics. Or I guess like Ultraman or whatever. Well, they go out there and they fight crime and they, you know, battle their own personal demons while they fight crime. But I think in this world, they sort of take it a more realistic approach, if you want to say. They go out and they get jobs for the government, for MI5, you know, the British Secret Service, for the American CIA. They get jobs. From gangsters, the mafia. They're all in the employees, all these different groups. Nobody decides to go out there and be a caped crusader and save people. No, they're out there, they're working for various governments, secret agents, from different syndicates and whatnot. So I thought, boy, you know, if you think about it that way, I'm like, yeah, that's a better way of explaining it. And in this show, the main characters are sort of the superheroes for a big group called the Syndicate, essentially like a mafia like organization, mm-hmm. and they take their orders from a man who doesn't have powers. He's just a regular guy, but he's sort of like the handler. So yeah, and it's really, really interesting. I love it. I said this before. I don't want to do a review all over again, but it's. The animation's great. The city really comes to life. Now, I watched this kind of back to back with some other stuff like Spice and Wolf, and some of the newer things like Golgo 13.
Oh yeah.
Monster, and I think what struck me is how the city looks. I guess it helps that you're doing it in your own backyard and you can just look out the window and sort of see what's happening in the city. But it looks like it's the Tokyo. It looks like it's actually Tokyo. Things are always happening. The little details, like there's a telephone pole, but the wires are all sort of hanging down from it. It was sort of similar to that. Remember that show I reviewed about, many episodes ago, about he goes out to a small town. And
That based on a Kurosawa
movie. Help me out here.
I can't remember. I know what you're talking about though.
Yeah, but what struck me about that show was how they really nailed that sort of small town with the dilapidated, like near the railway station. You got this line of dilapidated, obviously sort of failing businesses, just like near my city, Korea. You know, I lived in Japan. You know, you get out of the main station, you got this line of where like 40 years ago you would have had thriving businesses. Now they're kind of, you know, they've all moved, they've all gone out of business, you know, and you go out to the suburbs, you know, the grass is not mowed.
I quite liked Korea, though. Korea, so.
I didn't say, Oh, the vacant lots next to the newer houses. Those Yojimbo, Kazeno Yojimbo. The vacant lots next to the houses were the grass is going wild, stuff like that. You know, it looked like the city that was, you know, makes sense. Now, something I think after watching that and, you know, this Darker Than Black, you know, this had the signs and everything was just right, you know. Mm. It felt like the real metropolis and it worked, like a working physical city. Something that I think sort of Spice and Wolf and to a certain extent and to Monster and to us probably for budget regions and Golgo 13 kind of lacked, you know, lacked kind of that same thing.
Well,
but anyway, I'm digressing.
I think Monster had a very good ambience about the German countryside there.
Well, I don't want to go off. The art, the look of it, but what, like, you think about, like, if you have, like, a real European city, and I've never been to Europe, but looking at, just you flip through, like photos, and like you know those travel shows, people walking down the streets and stuff. What strikes me, and you watch that, and then you go and you watch Monster. Okay, they've got the buildings all look, you know, vaguely European or, you know, but what's missing? There are a few key scenes have people milling around and whatnot, and there's a, you know, occasional car going by. But most of the time, 80% of the time, there's no traffic on the streets. The streets are deserted except for the one or two characters. And there's nothing happening. Now, there's a few scenes where I guess they go all out and they put it in tons of people. But like in the nightclub scenes, mm-hmm. where they're all walking around, just tons of people. But most of the time, when they don't sort of pay attention, the street, they're walking down these streets, they're all deserted, no cars. Even if there are no pedestrians, there should be cars. And not only that, there should be cars, and there should be every, you look on TV and pictures of streets in Germany, every side street is stuffed with people parking their cars along, because there's nowhere else to park in Europe. So they park along the side of the street, right? In that, there's no cars there. There's no cars parked. There are no bicycles. They love bicycles. Where are the bicycles that are tied up at the side of the street or tied up around lamp posts and stuff? They're all over there. And Darker Than Black has them. It's those kind of little details that are missing from, I think, just for budget reasons, because.
Well, Monster had a pretty good budget. But yeah, 75 episodes. I know what you're saying, yeah.
So some of the scenes, they went and they put in the people where they had to, but more often than not, and even in restaurant scenes, usually, I guess, they could say, there's no one in the restaurant. But they're the only customers in a huge restaurant? You know? It's often like that. So they have, like, the sort of scenery and the static stuff, which doesn't take much to animate. But the little details, which say, okay, this is a living, breathing city, they skip. And but Darker Than Black does not do that. The setting is boom, bang on. It feels like a living, breathing city. Spice and Wolf, which you reviewed, so I don't feel I have to go over it again, has kind of the similar problem. They have a great setting in that, like, okay, they've got the towns are all different and they have their all sort of distinct sort of feel. But, watching, it's like something out of, like you find in Disneyland or something, in that it's like a Disneyland style, like, city. Like, you think, okay, this is Disney, this is a great Disneyland setting in that it works on a sort of fake level because it's idealistic. But for can a real city sort of function like that, where there should be the streets. I don't know if you've seen Deadwood, HBO's Deadwood.
You're wanting little scamps on the street in a pool of their own urine or begging.
Yeah, I want gritty. Yeah, I need to see a gritty, realistic, like if you watch like an old sort of 50s Western that, with a no budget. Okay, and then everybody's seen that, and you can sort of picture that in your head.
Yeah.
And then after watching Deadwood, what a real boomtown, a real Western city looks like. After HBO's Deadwood, you think, oh yeah, now that looks right. The streets are muddy, you know, they can't get through them, impassable. People have set up stalls on every street because space is at a premium and they all want to be there. So every street is lined with sort of stalls and the hustle and bustle and you know,
well,
fights breaking out, you know. So the same thing with HBO's Rome. I mean, you go down, this is a metropolis, nobody has cars, obviously, you know, it's essentially a take on a classic, or I think the same thing would apply for a medieval city, though, you know.
Well,
you walk in, every nook and corner should be crowded with something, people are trying to, you know. So, but you walk in Spice and Wolf, occasionally there's scenes where they sort of blow out the budget and they have sort of a market area and they've got some stalls and some tables where they go, but most of the time they're walking around in these cities which seem to have, for some reason, have massive avenues everywhere, you know, but which are empty. It doesn't seem like a it seems to me, if you have a walled city and for some reason everybody has agreed to be inside the wall, you would think that, you know, even, you know, the city would spill outside the wall.
Yeah.
And well, in the case of merch, then they'd sort of all come in. But, you know, that's how it would really work. But, okay,
I suppose,
let's buy into the fact that everybody's hiding in the wall.
Yeah.
And if the space is at that much of a premium, the space should be stuffed with buildings. There's no sewage running down the middle of the streets, all immaculate. There are no hucksters, most of the time there are no people. He's walking around, it's deserted.
See, this is a fantasy world, it's not Earth, so their government is...
But it doesn't feel as real as it could have been.
I think they substituted that with the very awesome music they had for that, very kind of authentic...
Oh, yeah. I agree. They had good music, and the story, I think, just because Spice and Wolf, in case you didn't listen to our previous episode, again, sort of a fantasy faux European, maybe Italian,
with
pre-Renaissance,
Germanic kind of influence.
Yeah, Italian, Germanic. Yes, a lot of little sort of city states. Yeah, maybe Germanic is a better example. Yeah, and it's about a trader who sort of goes around city to city, falling. There are two. It's a 13 episode series. There are a lot of sort of little deals he does, but there are two long arcs,
yeah,
of story. Those were okay, although at some points I was like, sort of rolling my eyes. I didn't care about it that much. I was more interested about him sort of traveling around, the dynamic with the characters, him making the little deals. That's what I really found interesting, and I'm looking forward to seeing a second season.
I certainly hope there is one. Well, Darker Than Black has got one.
Oh, that I can't wait. I want to say, I sort of went off on a tangent. Darker Than Black, I want to again express my love. You really, especially after the first 25 episodes, the OVA kind of comes out of nowhere, and it's not so good because I think they stick it in the middle of the previous. You haven't seen it, and I have a hard time sort of.
Yeah, it's on my list.
Because toward the end, a lot of people, let's just say not all of the main characters, at least as far as I can tell from the last episode, made it through. Let's just say that. So there is some carnage at the end here. But in the OVA, everyone's back. So either they've sort of gone back in time and placed it in another section, or... you know, or everybody mysteriously is back somehow. But I don't know, or the OVA is just a one-off.
Continuity doesn't account for much in a lot of anime. the main manga.
Yeah. But I think the hardest, like this, you almost have to watch it twice, or go and read up on, because they throw out a lot of terminology: Evening Primrose, Hell's Gate, Heaven's Gate, Pandora, Contractor is what they call the superheroes, contractors, dolls, and there's contract payments. Also, but the translation is different in every bloody episode. So sometimes they call them contract payments, but then they call them remuneration. Sometimes observance. Sometimes another term they use. But basically, these to maintain their superpowers, they have to do various things. The main character eats tons and tons of noodles all the time. Another character. Is not allowed. Another sort of very secondary character we see for a few minutes is he has to be honest all the time. He can't lie. So they all have, you know, they all have certain vulnerabilities or certain things they have to do in order to, but anyways, maintain these superpowers. But all these other terms like dog. So yeah, you get all these terms, and you know they don't explain it very well in the show. You know, they're just sort of thrown out there, and then they've got. So the translation, and it disappears very quickly. I think in order to get the full enjoyment out of this freaking, now my favorite series, is I think you got to do a little bit of research, but maybe just the Wikipedia Darker Than Black site, go through the terminology, read that, and I think it'll really help your enjoyment of those first several episodes, because it's a bit confusing otherwise.
Yeah. Well, I hope when it gets released in the US that they release a little book with the first volume. That could help it quite a lot.
Yeah, and what's great with it, this isn't like adopted from a manga or something. This is like it's on its own. So they could really just put out season after season and not have to worry about like overlapping the manga. Now, this has been adapted into a manga, surprisingly. So, boy, I just really enjoyed it. And plus, the characters, you're really rooting for them. These guys, the main characters are, you know, kind of members of this sort of syndicate gang mafia organization who go out and do different jobs. So there are a bunch of, lots of mini, mini arcs. Each sort of story takes place over two episodes. So you could, like, almost like a CSI thing, you could just watch two episodes and the story's over, it's complete. Wrap that in a nice bow, and then go to the next two, and it's a new story. But there are overlap, it is a continuing, the things continue and things are developing over the season. So there's a relationship that, there's a police woman, Misaki Kirihara, and they sort of, Misaki and a seeming Chinese student called Li Xinchun start developing over the course of these two seasons, start developing a relationship. Now, they happen to run into each other because of a couple, these cases kind of connect. And so she just happens to see him a couple times, and then toward the end, they actually go out on a date. I hope I'm not giving anything away, but you know, whatever. And you know, they start to at least fall for each other. But Li Xianxun is in real life, a contractor with the code BK201. You know, so it's kind of like a Superman, not a Superman, the opposite of the Superman thing. Where so Misaki is chasing Hay, this contractor who's, you know, wanted big time. You know, in real life, she's sort of seeing this Li Xianxun guy who's like this kind of funny, innocent guy who there's sort of affection going between the two of them. It's great. Now, you really sort of root. Now, I don't usually fall into this bullshit like a chick or something, but I really am kind of rooting for these guys. You know, to get together. I don't find myself happening. It doesn't happen to me very often in these shows. So it's done really well, and it's done just at the right speed, so it doesn't seem fake. Really highly, super highly recommend. My favorite series now, higher than Ghost in the Shell, higher than Cowboy Bebop, This is my new favorite show. Everyone see it.
Well,
Darker Than Black.
I'm just looking at AnnieDB, and they have this new thing where they have a comments section now for each series, and people post comments in there, and I don't think you'll ever feel more removed from the average anime fan than you will after reading this. The first one, and this person's favorite anime is like Tenge, whatever it is. DTB is nothing but a big bluff. They're bluffing cheap animation with HD resolution and CGI, bluffing an intriguing story by dragging over the whole series, only spamming hints without ever developing a real plot, bluffing depth and originality by scattering political, dramatic, and narrative key elements all over the place, which lull you in the impression that blah, 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 blah.
Okay, wait, well, I agree that the animation, like, after watching some other new stuff, like, I watched a bit of this Bonan no Ams Do. I don't know quite the...
Sounds like a German porn.
Yeah, I'm not
come
sure
to Bonan no Ams Do.
I think it's an anime news network to call it, like, Zammed Lost Memories. I've been watching it in high def. Like, that animation, it just blows me away. But I like a lot of this new stuff, it just blows me away. And Freedom, like the animation in that. Yeah, but it's not as good as that, because you know. But it's better than I think. Spice and Wolf, Monster.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter about the frames per second, but like you said, they've put an ambience in there. They've done something creatively, and that's all that really matters.
You really buy into it. Now, the thing that sort of bothers me is, like, obviously this has been paid for by, like, Pizza Hut and various companies, so you see their logos everywhere. But on one hand, they're placed in, like, shops and stuff, and you can sort of buy it. Okay, it helps you sort of say, okay, this is the real city, you know, they're there. I mean, maybe even Coca-Cola might be a sponsor, because one of the girls, she runs a little sort of old-fashioned sort of newsstand. There's a Coca-Cola sign. But, you know, they do it so it looks real. So the Coca-Cola sign's super faded, and you can barely read it with all the sort of scratches and dents in it. And the shop itself looks like it was built post-war. Like, you know, the outside, it's sort of that wood that's kind of fallen apart. And it really, it's great. The look of it is great. It doesn't have, like, the first class, like, unbelievable animation of the other show. I was just this other show I mentioned, and I just watched this Zammed Lost Memories. That's the English translation.
Yeah, I'm just looking at that now. It looks interesting.
Yeah, I watched the first couple of episodes of that.
Is it Mecha or something like that?
It's your sort of, you know, boy. In the end, it's a boy somehow gets superpowers, joins the military, and fights people. Anime, okay.
Oh, okay.
But the look of the show and it's kind of steampunk elements.
Ooh,
and
steampunk.
It's the universe they create is cool, man. I love the look of the bus, the school bus they have. It's all kind of steampunkish, or maybe not steampunk, but what's the best? Art Deco would maybe be the best.
Oh, my parents in the Art Deco. Oh, they're crazy about Art Deco.
Art Deco / steampunk look to the whole show. We should review that. You should start watching it. Six episodes have been subbed, I think.
It probably looks so great digitally because it's apparently an exclusive title to PlayStation Store's video download service for the PlayStation 3.
Okay, but stop. Okay, I don't want to go far too far off this thing, because I want to wrap up my spiel on Darker Than Black. Because then we got to say that I have to go to work in like 5 minutes. So now the answer is another charge with this. There's no sort of overarching story. But that's why I like it. You know, why does every show have to like Monster? Oh my God. I've been watching this thing. We're 60 episodes in, and they haven't nothing's resolved. All they get is, we just get more and more mystery. There's nothing that ends. It just goes on and on and on and on. At least with Lost, where you got sort of a similar situation, they feed you, you watch season one, they give you mysteries in season one. Some of those mysteries continue to like season three. Some of them are resolved in season two. Some of them, you know, but they give you new mysteries in season two, which are resolved in season three and season four. So they're always, there are mysteries, but in the, but they always, there's a theme for a season. They resolve that theme. You know, like the first season was the hatch. What the fuck is in the hatch? The hatch, the hatch. This mysterious island. There's a hatch here, and there's the woods are making funny noises, and are there people out there? And what the hell? Why is there a polar bear walking around on this tropical island? And but you find out, okay, the hatch. I don't want to. Okay, I'm gonna do this without spoiling for Dan because he's a huge dick who hasn't seen it yet. they get so, but they manage to get into the hatch. Season two is all about what the hell's in the hatch.
No, actually, that was spoiled for me due to a Counter-Strike map or half-life map. Remember?
All right, not really. But they find out what the hell's in the hatch. You know, and you find out. All that next season is all about the Dharma stations. What other stations there are? All about the stations on the island. The Dharma Initiative. What's the Dharma Initiative? They explore that all that season. Season two. And you also find out, yes, there are other people on this island. Who the hell are they? That's the mystery. And if you freeze frame one of the things in the hatch, you find out what the fuck the polar bear is, if you're paying attention. If you're not paying attention, they feed it to you with very clarity in like season three, I think. So, you know, they're very good about resolving things and at the same time feeding you new stuff. Fucking Monster! They don't resolve shit, you know? You they feed you this bad guy and the doctor's unbelievably dumb. He digs himself into a hole continually. Many chances they could have cut 40 fucking episodes out of this thing.
This is the most controversial review probably ever because
no, this isn't my review because I want to review it properly.
Okay.
I've seen the whole thing. Okay, but anyways, the point is you get no, the audience doesn't get fed. It is sort of, you get no satisfaction. You know what? But that's the downside of having a continuous story, right? You have to lead the audience may or may, depending on how you do it successfully, like Lost, or not in my opinion, like Monster. It's but with this, where it's every two episodes, a separate sort of adventure, a separate mystery.
Hercules: The Legendary Journeys.
Yeah, like fuck, lots of shows. Star Trek: The Next Generation. They, you know, lots of shows have sort of 1 hour essentially.
Yeah, I like mystery. The DS9 style where there's an overall arc, but you know, there's plenty of individual episodes, and
yeah,
they serve a purpose because you know they develop characters and whatnot. And
yeah, and so with this guy's complaint, he wants an overall arc, like I guess like Ghost in the Shell or something. You know, there is something that's there vaguely, but for me, it's like the secondary thing. You know. The most important thing are these tons of individual stories and underneath it all, yeah, okay, there's sort of this thing that bubbles up and it gets resolved at the end in the last few episodes like 23, 24, 25 and then it ends but fuck, I wish it didn't. I wish they didn't have that under us. I wanted that thing to go on, just keep going, because I was more interested in the sort of the Misaki, the Inspector Misaki there, and Li Shunshui, and his two lives is happening. In one life, he's a you know guy working at a restaurant bussing tables. The other, he's a super spy for the syndicate. You know, I liked all that stuff. And boy, I miss this show a lot, and I'm looking forward to season two coming out. Despite the naysayers who demand epic, never-ending stories, that's all I gotta say. We gotta talk more about Monster later. Now, if I see you tomorrow after work around this, no, it'll be an hour from now. maybe, I guess 3 o'clock your time.
Yep.
Maybe we can continue this broadcast for another few minutes.
Yeah, well...
If not, because I can't be able to stay on that long. If not, this will have to be the end of the show.
Yes. Well, okay, it depends. Either this is the end of the show and you'll hear music, or you'll hear Alex tomorrow on probably on meth or something like that, which the train company gives all their employees. So stay tuned.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ow, my Buccaneers! Please join me, Cancer, on the Up a Paddle podcast. This weekly podcast features geek news, reviews, and rants in the subjects of anime, video games, and movies. I share conspiracy theories, the Smurfs are communists, random facts. There are more bald eagles in the province of British Columbia, Canada, than there are in the entire United States of America, and Podcast Peak gives us the pirate perspective.
Arr, this steering wheel be driving me nuts.
So go to upapaddle.com or search for Up a Paddle in the iTunes directory. Tens of listeners can't be wrong. Pick Up a Paddle. It will be glorious.
Actually, Alex did come back the next day, so we did record more of the show. However, seeing the show's already gone for about 45 minutes, I thought it best to split the show into half, Anime World Order style, so that due to our time constraints and whatnot, we can still deliver something for you to look forward to, and I can take some more time editing it. I do apologize for some of the crackling. We didn't use our normal recording method this time, so as Alex said, it was on the fly. So stay tuned for next week. We talk about a lot of miscellaneous crap.